Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Life is about what you put into it. It's also about what you leave out. That's why we serve ham with no antibiotics, ever. Wholesome by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Go big or go home. What kind of choice is that? Go big and stay home with Jersey Mike's, delivered by Uber Eats. Having it all by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
This is an encore broadcast of Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth, and this is my co-host, Kara. Kara, do you have any news for us?
Yes, I do, starting with zombie cicadas.
Zombie cicadas? Like the bug?
Yeah, like the bug. Right. So, a virulent fungus, a mind-controlling fungus, is infecting cicada populations across the United States. This fungus, and be warned, this is a little bit gruesome, it basically causes huge portions of the cicada's body to slough off, revealing masses of fungus underneath, which releases spores, which infects other cicadas. It then releases a chemical very similar to psychedelic drugs that causes these cicadas to basically go into a mating frenzy, seeking out any other cicadas they find, and thereby infecting them through contact. Researchers do warn, well, do say, however, that this fungus is unlikely to jump to humans as it's spent, you know, millions of years evolving specifically to affect cicadas. After that, we have toxic algae blooms, which have closed all of the Gulf Coast beaches in Mississippi and many in Louisiana as well. These blooms are blue-green algae or cyanobacteria, which produce a number of symptoms, including vomiting, other digestive issues, nausea, that sort of thing. They aren't fatal, but are very unpleasant. Climate scientists have been warning for a long time that warmer ocean temperatures could increase the frequency of and size of these algae blooms, although nutrient runoff from farms is also a culprit in creating this situation. On a similar note, the UN has warned that climate-related catastrophes are now happening at a rate of one a week somewhere in the world and are costing about $520 billion a year, or the cost of Obama's entire stimulus package every 18 months. So, that's something. In more paranormal news, yeah, let's just move on from the depressing stuff. In more paranormal news, one of our former guests, Lon Strickler, has been posting a lot of winged humanoid and winged creature sightings in the last few weeks, so something big appears to be going on in the Midwestern skies, specifically Indiana and Illinois. Just 3 days ago, there was an eyewitness sighting of what appeared to be a pterodactyl. So, you can go to phantomsandmonsters.com to check that out, and if you're in one of those states, keep your eyes on the skies. That's it for news this week. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right. So, aside from the winged hominid sighting, I gotta say, it's like The Happening out there.
Oh, yeah. Like, I couldn't find a lot on UFOs this week, which is sad because we have a UFO guest, but I did notice there was a lot of... There was a lot in just the realm of apocalyptia, you know.
Right, yeah.
Just
yeah, the,
horrible stuff.
I've heard of other sort of funguses, fungi.
Yeah, mind-controlling
fungi.
Parasites, fungi, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. That do this, and it's freaky. It always there's this great zombie horror film called The Girl with All the Gifts that Joe McKenna actually told me I needed to watch, and it's awesome. It's like totally awesome.
Excellent.
It's like a... You know, it's like in this world that's so inundated with zombie movies, it's like to actually be thrown something interesting is
pretty impressive.
Yeah,
frankly.
It is pretty impressive.
Yeah, yeah. And is it a fungus in that movie?
Yeah, it is.
So the thing that really stood out to me is it's not just controlling these cicadas' minds. Like, that's old hat. Like, we all know that's
right.
a thing.
Sure.
But it's also, like, melting off pieces of their body.
Plus, it's like sexually transmitted disease, so it's like got
right.
all sorts of, like... Freaky.
Well, so
on.
Technically it's airborne, but the exposed fungus mass just
right.
produces spores. But, you know, it's to increase the proximity.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just weird. Like, are we going to end up, like, using this for aphrodisiacs, you know, or scientists going to go in there and, like, turn it into aphrodisiac, you know?
So what I read anyway is that the chemicals... It's basically the same as just psychedelic drugs, which to cicadas with their simple nervous system, you know, like, they have three modes. They have, like, get food, land on picnickers.
And tripping.
And exactly. And just, you know, full Dionysian yeah. mating frenzy.
Right, right.
Humans are a little more complicated.
Like, I don't know. I think we make ourselves more complicated. I think ultimately we're probably about as.
Yeah, yeah, maybe so.
But, you know, the climate change, you know, this was something that I was kind of hoping to talk about after the
yeah.
guest in one of our extra segments. And
this is a big issue for me, and I tried not to nail it a lot because I don't want to become the doom preacher person, but
yeah,
like...
I don't want to nail it. I don't want to nail it later, like, trying to convince everybody that it's real because that's not...
That's a sucker's game, frankly.
But I do have some things, so, you know, stick around. I have a topic I want to discuss there. And then with Lon Strickler, man, sounds like a good excuse to get him back on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially if he's got a bunch of new sightings that he can share with us and that we can
Yeah, so
about.
There's always interesting stuff on phantomsandmonsters.com. Basically, it's anonymous eyewitness sightings. Mm-hmm. So however much stock you put in that. Frankly, after having talked with Lon Strickler, I'm inclined to think that the vetting process is reasonable and that one can trust a lot
yeah,
of these sightings.
I don't think he's just going through, like, deciding that he's going to believe anything posted.
No, absolutely not.
But,
but I feel like a lot of people would look at the site and be like, like, they would dismiss it, but I'm saying don't, basically.
Right, yeah. I don't know, what's your take on anonymous posts? I mean, especially on something that's so...
Well, so it's not anonymous posts. Like, Lon Strickler, who writes a lot of this stuff, he knows who the people are.
I see.
But he keeps...
So he's vetting the people and then making them anonymous.
Yeah, exactly. So it... I mean, my issue with that is basically it depends to a huge extent on how much you trust the guy doing it.
Right.
And I trust Lon Strickler.
Right.
But I wouldn't necessarily trust anyone who uses the same method.
Right, and for those of you listening, Lon was a guest on our show when we talked about Mothman.
About Mothman,
and,
yeah, which is one of his sort of big things.
And definitely Kara's favorite cryptid.
Oh, yeah. I have a bit of a crush on Mothman.
I have a crush on Mothman. I want to have like a million of his babies.
A little bit. Yeah.
Which is how many moths I have.
Right.
But, yeah, no, I'm excited with that. You know, the thing that I like so much about Mothman and having Lon on is that there's... with Mothman, there's not a huge mythology that's been created behind it.
Yeah, it's just
you
this
know?
Weird, totally inexplicable
it's,
thing.
Right, it's being hucked factoids and being hucked stories, and then you're just like, oh, what is up?
What am I going to do with this?
Right, you know, how much faith, how much stock can I put in such a over-the-top topic?
Right. Frankly, I think the sightings are unbelievable, but so... There's so many of them that I can't dismiss them.
Right, and group sightings.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. All right, so tonight's guest is returning William Pullen. He went
yes,
to
yes.
the Roswell Festival.
UFO Festival.
Yeah. Roswell UFO Festival, and he's going to update us and tell us all about it upon our return. We have William Pullen, so come on back.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Come see Little Women at Riverfront Playhouse. A timeless tale that has delighted audiences for generations is being performed on the Reading stage. Follow Meg, Joe, Amy, and Beth through the ups and downs of growing up. Watch as they laugh, cry, live, and love, all through the strength of sisterhood and the power of family. Written by Louisa May Alcott, adapted by John Ravold, directed by Annie Bakalenikoff. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, running July 20th through August 17th.
North Valley Distributing, a local electrical wholesaler, has been in business since 1983, serving Northern California, Southern Oregon, and Western Nevada. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier for the industrial and construction markets with same-day delivery. North Valley Distributing, a local electrical wholesaler on Crossroads Drive right here in Reading. Call 222-1500. That's 222-1500.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Come on, let's sit down together at the Black Bear Diner on Highway 5 in East Cypress and Reading. Stop by for a family-friendly atmosphere, bear-sized portions, and expansive menu. Enjoy breakfast all day with bear-sized portions of their hearty Bigfoot chicken fried steak and eggs, scrumptious bear claw French toast, and signature sweet cream pancakes. Good food, good friends, good times at a place that feels like home. The Black Bear Diner in Reading.
Black Bear feels like home.
Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, William Pullen. William, do we have you there with us?
I am here. How's everything in California?
Not bad. A little behind.
Same as it always is.
No, it's about a month. It's about a month behind, which puts us in this weird situation where everything dries out later, and then it's all windy as we go into autumn. And
that's what
happened last year. The fires happened way late in the season because.
That's horrible.
Because
you guys are good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's barely hit 100 here yet, so.
Yeah, we're just preparing for the inevitable flaming inferno later.
That's pretty good.
For now.
It hasn't hit 100 in San Antonio yet either, so we're crossing our fingers.
Nice.
So.
Yeah.
Does it get that hot there? I didn't know that.
It does. Usually we have a couple hundred degree days by mid-June, and so far so good. Nothing's happening, so.
All right, yeah. So we are talking about your trip to the Roswell UFO Festival. And, man, every time I see you doing this, I guess we've known each other for about 2 years now, so I've seen you go two or three times, and and man, it looks so much fun. It looks so cool. And
it is.
You know, there's something about a road trip and motels, and I don't know. I like all that stuff. It just sounds so much fun. But you know, how big is this thing? How big are we talking?
It's a huge cash cow for the city of Roswell. The middle Saturday of last year's festival was the busiest day the UFO Museum had had in its entire history. And the 70th anniversary festival, which was 2 years ago, was the most well-attended festival they've had. It's been going on since 1995, I believe. It's a huge deal. The population of Roswell almost doubles over that weekend.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so I guess I'm assuming a big cash cow for them is... I assume it's a fairly small city.
It is. I don't have a population number, but it's really a large town.
Right. Yeah.
Is a better description. Yeah. It's not that big. No.
Right. So I think this is probably a little tongue in cheek here, but I think what everybody would want to know, everybody who's listening to this, especially on the radio, you know, on the internet, it's probably more apt to be people who care
about 50,000. FYI.
Oh, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if it doubles.
Yeah,
that is a lot of
people. About half of Reading. So.
Yeah, because when I take the kids and we go to these anime conventions, like the big Fanime one in San Jose is like 40,000 people, and that's a lot of people, you know. Especially when they're all dressed like freaks. You know? It's like,
yeah, so this
true.
This is 10,000 more than
that. Right, you know, it's amazing how a cardboard Godzilla costume can like triple your mass in the elevator when we're trying to go down with other people.
Outstanding.
So I think that's what a lot of people probably want to know who aren't too familiar with this stuff. It's like, how freaky is this, you know? Because being a fan of this stuff, I know that it's a lot of researchers and a lot of sort of straight-laced people who are going there doing the stuff, crunching some numbers, you know, kind of, you know, being somewhat scientific about it. But, I mean, you know, are there a lot of freaks in the street? You know, what's going on?
There are. The International UFO Museum, they organize the lectures and presentations by all the scientifically minded and some of the less scientifically minded presenters. So that's all the museum. The city of Roswell organizes the actual festival, which is outside. They block off about a 3-block length of Main Street, which runs in front of the UFO Museum. They have family-friendly activities, pet contests, they have a pet costume contest, I should say, an adult costume contest. They have an alien parade, which I believe is Saturday night, vendors with all sorts of wares, food, drinks. It's a little of both. You can enjoy the scientific angle if you're serious about UFOs, and if you're taking the entire family, they can enjoy the gimmicky, less serious take on UFOs. So it's a little
of
both.
I love it. Totally... You know, because I was, like, trying to think, like, how am I going to get my wife to go to this thing? But, I mean, if I tell her, like, you know, basically pet competitions, which, frankly, I'm sure Pug wins every year, you know, given the subject matter.
Deal.
You know, and then, you know, drink deals and parades in the streets, you know, my wife's in, you know.
That's okay, I'm throwing the pitch. Go. Yeah.
Right. So, you know... So you guys go every year. Is it just you, and do you try to wrangle some people up, or you got yourself a team?
I go by myself. This year, my mom's health was pretty good, so I dragged her out of her house to get to Roswell, and she enjoyed the trip.
Really?
And I spend all my time in the museum. I have never gone to explore the festival. I've seen it from afar, but my days are I wake up early, arrive at the museum, I'm there for all the lectures, and I go back to my hotel room. That's all I do.
I know you enjoy a pint every once in a while, so you go there and you really just do all the UFO stuff and ignore all that, and you... Man, that's commitment.
I'm ashamed to admit, as a green-blooded Irishman, I've never had a beer in Roswell during the festival.
Oh, that's funny. All right, well, if I go,
it's all about the research, yeah.
Well, that's probably good, because I'm sure that's how the aliens, like, capture people. They drug the drinks.
Perhaps. Yeah, but it's a load of fun for whatever angle you have on UFO Day. If you would just go there and bring the family, and it's a load of fun for everybody, so It's very well run, too. It's very professionally run, and I've never been exposed to anybody who's had a negative take on it. I don't recall anybody going and not enjoying themselves, so it's a guaranteed good time.
So when it comes to these speakers, you're saying that the UFO Museum actually does all the booking and stuff like that, so for the more serious side of this. When it comes to the speakers, do they tend to go with more nuts and bolts researchers or this sort of spiritual side of ufology, or are they really trying to sort of get a good collection?
The original slate of speakers, which started in the mid-90s, was Stan Friedman, Kevin Randall, Don Schmidt, Tom Terry, which are – they're all kind of nuts and bolts, more scientifically minded speakers. Donald Burleson, who is a state director of MUFON, he's a university-trained mathematician. He speaks there. Frank Kimbler, he's assistant professor of geology at the New Mexico Military Institute. He gives presentations there. His specialization is looking for physical evidence of the crash. So he's all about the science.
Nice.
And so they've got that block of speakers. And then this year they had Travis Walton, who's there every year, for the individuals that are more interested in abductions. Mike Barra, who's known for Ancient Aliens, was there. I've never seen him there before. Tom Reed, Kathleen Martin. So it's not just all nuts and bolts, but they kind of spread it out. But this year they had, I believe it was 12 speakers. I might be overstating that number, but they do a little of everything. But and contrary to popular belief, the nuts and bolts speakers, the ones that have done the most research on Roswell, the majority of their presentations are not about Roswell. They've extended their horizons a bit over the years.
I figured, and Kara and I were talking about that a little bit before the show, that obviously, you know, for one, we've had you on to discuss Roswell specifically.
Yeah.
And
you've got to move on from Roswell.
Yeah,
in
our discussions about it, we've kind of brought up that Roswell, the factoids have been exhausted, Well, I mean, this is how I feel. I don't mean to put this on anybody else. But I kind of feel like what we know about Roswell is really kind of what we're going to know at this point.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing that would change would be recovery of military documentation. Mm-hmm. That's about it. Or if Mr. Kimbler, I should call him Frank because he's a good friend, if he's able to recover something, a physical piece of evidence which is truly anomalous, where the isotopes really are non-terrestrial. Those are the two avenues. Other than that, virtually every first-hand witness is either, I hate to say this, is very uncouth, but they're either on their deathbed or they've already passed on. So that avenue is done.
Yeah.
And there's only so much you can do. So the only options are documentation or physical evidence. Otherwise, other than that, we're just rehashing it over and over, which is not a negative statement. That's just how it is.
Yeah, and although I have to say I'm pretty amazed at how well the government actually keeps paperwork. For redacting things and hiding things that, and then years later they come out with it, and I'm just like, whoa, they actually kept that paperwork for like 50 years.
Yeah.
They're like my wife with a Target receipt, man. That is like, that's crazy. You know, so
they
maybe we will find something.
It's an eternal search for a paper trail. I mean, everything in the military is done by the book, and you literally there's a procedure for every single thing you do. And, there's been a paper trail established that whatever they recovered there, northwest of Roswell, was flown eventually to Wright Field in Dayton, Ohio. There's a paper trail to confirm that transpired. As to what they actually transferred over to Wright Field, that's the question. I mean, of the nuts and bolts speakers in Roswell, I can't think of a single one who is 100% convinced it's extraterrestrial.
Right.
They're all, they all feel that the evidence, the data leads you to that, but they all realize you can't prove it without, again, physical evidence or documentation. So, but that's, yeah, that's where we're at. We're looking for paperwork. We're looking for paper trail. And, the government does keep records of everything. So it's a matter of finding it.
It's just amazing. All right. Well, William, we're coming up on break here. When we come back, I want to find out from you, the speakers that you watched, you know, which ones or one in particular really sort of resonated with you. What was your fave? When we come back here on Radio Wasteland, we're talking about the UFO Festival in Roswell with our guest, William Pullen. So come on back.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 AM, with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Dude, look what just popped up on my timeline.
Dude, I was just thinking about the Charbroiled Double Deals from Carl's Jr. California Classic Double Cheeseburger, Jalapeno Double Cheeseburger, and the Double Cheeseburger.
Three mouthwatering burgers for only $2.99 each.
How did they know we were starving?
How did they know I only had about $2.99 in my wallet?
It's the algorithm, man. He knows everything.
Whoa, whoa, wait. Who's the algorithm?
Charbroiled Double Deals, only at Carl's Jr. Available for a limited time. Price and participation may vary. Price higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Tax not included.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
To come into a place with this many people and not know the people and be comfortable immediately, that says so much to me. Everybody's so happy. Everybody's talking to everybody. I felt apart the minute I moved in. The music that's brought in, what a wonderful thing to do for people, that we can go down and sit and relax and be entertained. I absolutely cannot imagine a thing that could be done around here that would improve it in any way.
Call today for a tour or lunch and a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web, river-commons.com.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, William Pullen. We're talking about the Roswell UFO Festival. All right, so you go there, you're a teetotaler while you're there. And, who'd you see that was really left the biggest impression on you with okay, there's... I figure there's two people that you saw that left the biggest impression on you. There's the fanboy person that you saw where you're like, oh, my God, I saw that person. And then there's the person who left the biggest impact on you with information. Who's your fanboy person that you saw?
They're one and the same. It's Kevin Randall.
Oh, awesome.
Okay.
Kevin Randall had not been to Roswell since 2012, and I hadn't seen him. Last time I saw him was in 2014 in Edinburgh, Texas. There was a conference there he appeared at. He really doesn't travel at all anymore. He does podcasts and radio shows and writes, but doesn't travel.
Well, I'm not familiar with Kevin Randall. Why don't you give us the rundown on who he is?
Kevin Randall has been investigating UFOs since the 60s. He was a field investigator for APRO, the Aerial Phenomenon Research Organization, which is now defunct. He was asked by Don Schmidt in the late 80s to start investigating the Roswell events, and they wrote two books, UFO Crash at Roswell from 91 and The Truth About UFO Crash at Roswell in 94. They don't work here anymore, but they're still friends. But he's one of the more objectively skeptical guys about Roswell. He's all data-driven. And so he's got this reputation as being difficult. I don't find him difficult. He just sticks to the facts, and he sticks to the data. And having not seen him, I've had email conversations with him over the years. I keep in touch with him, but it's different than having face-to-face interactions.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time with him this weekend. I'm guilty of spending an inordinate amount of time with him, but I was trying to catch up after all these years. I don't know if he's coming back either, so it may be the last time I see him. So.
I see. So he's sort of the old-school expert on everything Roswell, I'm guessing.
I would extend everything UFO.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's an extremely knowledgeable man. He hasn't focused on Roswell in a good decade. He's had a wide diversity of cases he looked at. He was 100% Roswell for about, I guess, since the late 80s till about maybe the late 90s, I guess. And then now he's diversified. He was diversified before. But when Don Schmidt asked them to work together on Roswell, that was their singular focus. And that's not the case anymore. So if I want to find out the data concerning the case, I seek him out, really. I mean, he's really, really kind of a grounded guy.
So he was speaking at the event?
Yes, he gave two lectures, and he appeared at the both Roswell panels that finished up Saturday and Sunday.
So
and
when,
of course, he was at his table.
When you've been researching forever and you know everything, what did this guy talk about?
His first lecture was on Roswell in the 21st century, which was, and that was a book he wrote that came out in 2016, which was a huge, a voluminous summary of all the data about Roswell and debunks all the false theories and makes people aware of the charlatans and the liars concerning the case. And just looks at the data that's held up under scrutiny. And he got a lot of pushback for that book, by the way, because he upset a lot of people with that book, but it was just data. It was just data. And he didn't draw any conclusions. He just presented the data. And then his second talk was, ironically, ufology without Roswell. He took a look at some of the other stronger cases and avoided mentioning Roswell for an entire hour. And that was a fascinating lecture. And then during the panel, he was he's got a great sense of humor. So he and Don Schmidt had a good rapport going. Yeah, they were playing off each other quite a bit during the panel, and in a serious way they were. So, but yeah, he gave two lectures.
So I've never been to one of these things, but I assume that the panel has open questions from the audience.
Yes. Usually the moderator, and this year it was Alejandro Rojas, and he handed out, or no, he didn't hand out. He encouraged people to come up and write on little sticky notes questions they had. So after the introductions, which lasted about 10 minutes, all the questions were audience questions.
Nice.
That was a tradition that was started last year by Mr. Joel Buckman. So that worked really well. And every question he asked, every one of the panelists gave their take on it. Okay. And then they would proceed to the next question. So that went really well.
Were there any questions / answers that kind of stood out to you?
Like, are you going into this stuff already knowing everything, William? Or...
No, not at all. But it was interesting what questions weren't asked. Hmm. There weren't any questions asked about this recent Pentagon Navy TTSA scenario. Nobody asked about that.
There was one question
they kind of asked about disclosure, which I expected. But most of them were about them on a personal level. I know the question I asked, and I had to write another question. I couldn't fit on my hands. My question was, how has investigating Roswell affected your other UFO investigations? Because all these guys have done work on other cases. And they said it hasn't affected their approach at all. They were approached this case like all the others, as skeptical as possible without being a debunker. Which I find refreshing. They didn't believe this was extraterrestrial going in. They just looked at the data, and then it led them to believe that, to a greater or lesser extent, it led them all to believe that that seems to explain the data the best, but you can't prove it without a piece of the craft. You can't prove it. I guess that's a simple way to say it. So
right. You know, you and I have discussed before how I'm going to use my own harsh terminology, so I'm not going to put it on William, but I feel that the UFO research community has really been sort of like infected by this sort of religion and mythology thing where people want to build on what they consider to be truths and stuff like that. So I can't help but to think that there were a
inundated,
lot...
hijacked.
No, infected.
Infected, okay.
It's a, all right. It's a cancer on the UFO community.
Yeah.
But, I can't... When you said that people handed in the sticky notes, I couldn't help but to think that there had to be some crazy sticky notes in there. Was there anything that was just like, oh, my God, that made the panel just go, oh, my God?
There was one. It was one question where it was... And I saw the person who wrote it. It was a younger person. This young woman was under 30. So I immediately thought, well, she's probably not. The nuts and bolts thing, it seems to be the more grounded observers or researchers tend to be above a certain age.
Right.
Like my age or above. And I'm going to date myself, but I'm 50.
Right.
Or 51. Yeah. So younger than me, like younger than 40, they tend to be more in tune with that somewhat more speculative, less physical, more new age, kind of religious kind of angle or what have you.
They're vectors for the infection.
Yeah. But the question was, what are the members' thoughts of the Billy Meyer photographs?
What's the Billy Meyer photograph?
Billy Meyer is this gentleman. I think he's in Switzerland. And he has been producing UFO photographs. I mean, clear, crystal clear UFO photographs since the mid-70s. Mm-hmm. And he feels, he professes that these crafts are coming from the Pleiades star system. I don't know how many hundreds of light years away that is.
Well, that is a clear photograph, if they can pick that up.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other program.
Yeah.
But Alejandro Rojas started with Kevin Randall, because Kevin immediately started smiling. And I apologize for using a four-letter word, but Kevin said, well, Billy Meyer is full of crap. That's all I have to say. And he put his microphone down.
Oh, really? That was
and every other person on the panel said the same thing, but wasn't as blunt as Mr. Randall was. Except for... Paul Davis. Paul Davis was there. He was the executive producer of the Roswell movie back in '94, which was shown on Showtime. And he was there because it was the 25th anniversary of that film coming out. So he was kind of not defending that, but he was taking a less harsh take on it. But No, Randall, Kevin told him how I was, and I agree. I gave him a little standing ovation after that. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I can't, I just. I imagine people asking all these, like, nuts and bolts question, and then hearing somebody at the back stand up and going, but what about the crystals? You know, it's like, you know, and like, it's like, I mean, I'm down with that. I mean, I'm down. Yeah. I'm not opposed to people's belief or their faith or anything like that, but.
Sure.
I mean, if you ask, just don't understand that it's two different conversations.
Yeah, if you, know, you ask a bunch of nuts and bolts panelists about, you know, the crystals or whatever, like, what do you expect they're going to say?
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
That's not who you ask about that.
Right. All right. William, sorry to cut you off, but we're coming up on a break here. We got one more segment when we come back, so we got more with you. And you're listening to William Pullen here on Radio Wasteland talking about the Roswell UFO Festival. You don't want to miss out, so come on back and all that.
Wake up each morning, wonder where you are. I go to bed each night and wonder who you are. Am I so uptight? And do you feel alright? I wonder if you are. This ain't as difficult.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank. Consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. North State Now is brought to you by Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
The McConnell Foundation is pleased to sponsor this year's Colt 45 season. We support hometown baseball in South City Park, part of the heart of Reading. Families, local businesses, and nonprofits make this community event successful. The McConnell Foundation believes the best way to build community is to support it together. Baseball is for everyone, from little leaguers to senior games. Thank you for rooting for our home team. Go Colt 45s!
This is an encore broadcast of Radio Wasteland.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest William Pullen. We're talking about the Roswell UFO Festival. I have a terrible memory. So, you know, ufology is such a big topic that's constantly just being explored. You know, it kind of makes you wonder, is it just being inundated with new people who are relearning what we know? So Kara had a good idea of a question here to ask you.
Yeah.
And that is, why don't you ask away, Kara?
Yeah, so, well, we were talking about how Roswell discourse has been kind of like rehashing the facts because, frankly, you just need new evidence to go anywhere new. But I'm wondering, with broader ufology, what new facts and new evidence is sort of causing a buzz these days? What are people talking about that's changing the discourse?
You know, people are talking about this whole Pentagon program, Navy video, CBSA scenario, where videos are being released, documentation is being released. People are doing one or two things, actually just one thing. They're taking up positions. They're either pro that scenario or anti the scenario. They're very polarized. There's no gray area. And no one's being cautious enough to really look at the data and say, is this legitimate, or are we just being pulled around by our noses or what have you? And that's kind of all the talk now. As far as sightings, I mean, there's sightings all the time. Of course, the majority of them, the vast majority, are not extraterrestrial, but sightings are there, and it's just increasing the log of data we have. But that's pretty much what's the topic of conversation in the UFO community right now. That's about it, really.
I know the Washington Post has gotten a fair amount of criticism for its UFO stories. People are like, well, you know, how much stock can you put in the word of basically this one source, Luis Elizondo, I think, or are these sightings from 2015, et cetera, legitimate, or are they computer glitches, that kind of thing? I'm curious as to sort of what your take on it is at this point.
I don't find any of the data striking. I mean, everyone was surprised in the community, meaning the UFO community, that the Navy or the military was investigating UFOs. Mm-hmm. I thought, that's not a surprise, and I would be surprised if they weren't. So I didn't find that statement and it wasn't anything new. Their videos were released, and the first thing I thought was, well, how many other times have gun camera videos been not released to the public? How much other evidence is there of anomalous activity? I mean, our military pilots are up there all the time. They're bound to see things they can explain, which doesn't mean they're alien. It just means they're unexplained. They're literally UFOs. They're things in the air they can't explain, which doesn't get you to alien, but for some people it does. I'm very cautious. Everyone's immediately saying, well, this is on our way to disclosure. We're going to know everything, this, that, and the other. And I'm thinking, you know, we've been here every few years. This happens, and disclosure has never happened.
Right.
So I'm very cautious. Okay, let's just wait and see what happens. But I get pushback professionally about it. They say, well, why don't you believe this? Why don't you believe that? And I say, well, because I've been doing this 30 years, and this is like every 3 years, and nothing happens. So it's kind of the same thing, but, I mean, we don't know. We'll see what happens. So,
You know, two things you said there definitely got my mind thinking. One is the potential cherry picking. Like you're saying, it's like, when in history has the government said, like, hey, we got a bunch of good stuff here. Let's show them our best stuff. You know, it's like, how often does that happen? They're hiding the best stuff. They're showing us the stuff on the top that they can sort of.
That's a little bit dodgy.
Right. The stuff that's able to be handled by us. Which is weird that for some reason I'm considered less able to handle something than a military guy, you know. I've raised three kids, man. My house was a war zone, you know. And then the other thing was you're saying that we were split, you know, and that really sort of caught me because our whole society is just so incredibly split right now, and then they're doing it on this topic. We notice it on other topics. You know, it was just kind of interesting to me that basically people are tribing up and getting in their camps more so than actually trying to figure anything out at this point. I guess it was more of a personal statement.
I recall I was with you guys last year, and we discussed this about the community. It's very polarized. Everyone's got their positions.
Yeah.
You know, going back to the disclosure thing and going back to Kevin Randall, I heard Randall say on a podcast, and he was asked about disclosure, and his quote was, there is no motivation for the government or the military to disclose anything they may have at this point. I thought that says it all right there. If the government or the military, I cannot imagine they would ever disclose anything they might have. We can't force them to do that. So it would take an event to change that. To change that scenario. I mean, I'm talking like a large crash or a landing that no one could deny, you know, in a metropolitan area. But yeah, everyone's taking up positions and not really thinking through what they're defending. You're exactly right.
What about like whistleblowers, for instance? I see a lot of disclosure discourse sort of centering on the idea that some guy in the government is going to pull an Edward Snowden and dump the UFO files on us. But
when that happens, the first thing I do is background check that person.
Right.
You know, are they who they say they are? Do they hold that position? Do they serve in those positions they claim they are at? And then whatever documentation they bring forth, the first thing I think of is, okay, where's the providence? Where did this data originate? I should be able to FOIA request that and find out what military government agency created the document so I can trace that data back. And a lot of these documents, you can't do that. It originates from some individual that released it, but are you able to track it back to the government agency that actually created it? Usually you can't. And that, for me, that's a huge red flag. For some in the community, and I'm being kind, some, but for most in the UFO community, that's not a red flag at all, which I find very troubling, but that's just me. So,
Well, as you say, we've been here before.
This has
happened before.
And luckily it's not just you, you know. Luckily we do have people holding on to the credibility of looking at this stuff. You know, this kind of goes back to my saying being infected by the crazies, you know. It's like they need somebody soberly looking at this stuff saying, like, okay, maybe, you know. And that's what that's what a smart, sober person would do, is look at some of this stuff and say, okay, maybe, you know, and maybe should be enough for the science community. I mean,
yeah, just a cautious step back to examine what's happening and then go from there. That's my take on it. I agree. So.
All right. Well, here we are. We're at the end of the show. We have been listening to William Pullen. William, why don't you tell people about your Facebook group so that we can get that out there? Both Kara and I are members, of course.
Naturally.
Of course. You can find me on Facebook. My objective group about UFOs is entitled You For Real, A Historical Review. It's an objective review of the history of UFOs. And I have a blog on Facebook entitled Cleverly William Pullen, which is subjective, where I give my personal opinions about scenarios in the UFO community, UFO cases, and whatnot. So everyone can find me at those two platforms.
All right. Well, William, it's always great to have you on. I'd have to say this is our fifth or sixth.
we've had you on a bunch of times.
I'm sure we'll have you on again.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to William Pullen right here on Radio Wasteland. So, you know, thanks for checking us out. Must be the season of the witch.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.